search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.
الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله، وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. Welcome to the first episode of our new program, In Search of Piety. Insha'Allah, we will cover many interesting and inspiring topics in this program. I would like to share with you a point of excellence or a narration which expresses the importance, excellence of sending blessings in favor of the best in creation, Al-Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, the deed we commonly refer to as Salat ala Nabi or Durood Sharif. The beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said that the one who sent blessings upon me 10 times in the morning and 10 times in the evening, he will attain my intercession on the Day of Judgment. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Our program In Search of Piety is based upon a very famous book written by a great scholarly personality born in the year 336 after Hijrah in the city of Isfahan in Iran. Some of you may have guessed who I am referring to. This great scholar of Hadith was known as Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Ahmad bin Abdullah Isfahani. He was one of the greatest scholars of Hadith in his era. He was so famous that even when he was walking along the street, students would flock around him to seek some guidance in this field, or general guidance in terms of their studies of the religion. He was blessed with a long life. According to many traditions, he lived until the age of 94. And many other scholars have commented and have praised his ability in Hadith and his expertise in Hadith. The term Hafiz in the terminology of Hadith or the principles of Hadith refers to someone who has memorized at least 100,000 hadith narrations. And it's not just the hadith narrations, it's the chains of transmission and other related information. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, for example, was famous for having short chains of transmission in terms of hadith. And the shorter the chain, the more stronger the probability being that it's more likely to be a stronger or more authentic hadith chain or chain of transmission. He was a well-traveled scholar. He traveled all the way to Baghdad, to Mecca, to Basra during his studies, and his teaching and study phase was a long one, as I mentioned previously. What I would also like to mention here is when a scholar is of such a high caliber, other scholarly figures acknowledge his scholarship. And I would like to share with you some comments of famous scholars who praised Hafiz Abu Nu'aym Isfahani, one of them being the great Khatib Baghdadi, rahimahullah. He said about Hafiz Abu Nu'aym that he was one of two great hadith scholars who he referred to as Hafiz al-Hadith, meaning he did not take this term lightly, and he only attributed this term to two people, and one of those being the great Imam Hafiz Abu Nu'aym. In his book, meaning in Hafiz Abu Nu'aym's work, Hilyatul Awliya wa Tabaqatul Asfiya, he mentions the biographies of different companions, short biographies, and the biographies of different scholars. And the purpose, he actually gives the reason for doing this. And he explains that there were people who were attributing false things and fabrications and criticisms and unjust criticisms, and even people who were offending, spreading remarks, offensive remarks about these pious predecessors. So he decided to write a book in which there was an emphasis on an aspect of the religion which later became prominent and more explained in his era and after his era, the concept of the tasawwuf, which is something which we will cover in a later episode. But Hafiz Abu Nu'aym, he compiled these biographies of the Sahaba and different scholars and pious predecessors to teach people and remind people of the greatness and the piety, the path of righteousness that these noble personalities walked upon. Imam Subki praises Hafiz Abu Nu'aym by saying that he was a man of great excellence and great piety and asceticism. And Imam Zahabi, he singled out Hafiz Abu Nu'aym in his praise, mentioning him that in his era, he was known to be the muhaddith or the hadith scholar of his era. And that's how much of an expert in this field he was. Imam Zahabi also mentioned that he had a unique rank among the scholars of hadith. So that was quite a lot of information about the author himself, because our silsila or our program is based upon his book Hilyatul Awliya wa Tabaqatul Asfiya, and we will look at some aspects of reminders and some aspects from the lives of the pious predecessors which will inspire us and encourage us and even remind us about how these pious people lived and what their teachings were and how they were the beacons of light, the paragons of piety, shining this light and leading other people, guiding other people to the path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the path of piety and to the path of righteousness. He begins his discussion with the excellence of the friends of Allah, the topic of today's episode, the friends of Allah. The friends of Allah are referred to as the awliya, and Hafiz Abu Nu'aym begins his discussion about the awliya by citing the famous divine hadith mentioned in Bukhari, narrated by Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu ta'ala says that whosoever offended a wali, a friend of mine, I declare war against him. Is there a statement more serious than this, viewers of Madani Channel? Allah subhanahu ta'ala is clearly saying that the one who offends his friend, a waliullah, Allah declares war against him. The hadith continues. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that an individual draws nearest to me through the obligations of the religions, meaning the five daily prayers, or if zakat is compulsory upon a person, all of the obligations or obligatory elements of the deen. Allah is declaring in this hadith, divine hadith, that that is the best way of drawing near to him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, this nearness is not in a physical sense, this is in terms of piety and acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It continues, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this individual, this slave, he continues to draw near Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the supererogatory, the nawafil, the extra actions. So the one who is attaining this closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first and foremost, it is through the obligation, then through the extra efforts in worship. He continues to draw near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to such an extent, Allah says, until I begin to love him. And when I make him my beloved, I become his ears through which he hears. I become his eyes through which he sees. I become his hand through which he grasps. I become his feet with which he walks. And when he asks of me, I give to him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala empowers his friend, his chosen servant, to such an extent that the senses of that chosen individual are enhanced. Imam Fakhruddin Razi, he explains this hadith by saying that when Allah says he becomes his ears through which he listens, that means Allah empowers his chosen servant in such a way that he is able to hear things that are near and far. And with sight, when Allah says, I become his eyes through which he sees, he is empowered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in such a way that he is able to see near and far, see things which normal people do not see, and hear things which normal people do not see. certain secrets, we can say, are revealed to him. Certain veils are lifted for such a chosen individual. So those people who bring to their tongue remarks and comments of criticism and offense, they should think 100 times before they think negatively about any of the pious predecessors, the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidah Aisha Siddiqa radiyallahu ta'ala anha is reported to have said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has declared, meaning Allah has said, whosoever offended a friend of mine, he has permitted war against him. Meaning such a person has entered a state of war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to the fact that he offended one friend or wali of Allah, someone who is close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhumah once reported that his father Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiyallahu anhu once saw Sayyidina Mu'az bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala and sitting near the resting place, the Rawda of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and he was crying. And Sayyidina Umar, he asked him, Sayyidina Mu'az, about why he was crying. Sayyidina Mu'az radiyallahu ta'ala and he revealed that he remembered something the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, and then he shared what he remembered. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, even a little ostentation, showing your deeds, showing off with your deeds, even a little riya or ostentation is shirk. And he continued to say, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, and whosoever expressed enmity for a wali of Allah, meaning a friend of Allah, he declared war against Allah. Meaning, in expressing this enmity against this friend of Allah, it's as if he has declared war against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. Remember here, in this narration where Sayyidina Mu'az bin Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala and revealed that even a little ostentation, a little riya is shirk. This doesn't mean if someone does something to show other people that he become a disbeliever. This is a reminder that we should not do any good deeds, act of worship for anyone but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For if you do something for anyone other than Allah, it's as if you're not doing it for Allah. You're doing it for that person. Whether it's to impress someone, to inform someone, the reward of that action will be destroyed. Whether a man is standing in prayer or whether he is donating in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, apparently if he does so with ostentation, then this is almost like, or this is likened to, attributing partners with Allah, because he's not doing it for the sake of Allah, he's doing it to show other people or for another reason. Hafiz Abu Nu'aym then mentions the qualities of the friends of Allah. These are not all the qualities of the pious people or the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first point that he mentions is that it has been seen or observed that people of intelligence and people of piety or righteousness, they are drawn to the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are obedient to them. Meaning, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are recognized and acknowledged by the righteous people and intelligent people. One prime example that we have of how people who are attracted to goodness and righteousness, our beloved Honorable Shaykh Abu Bilal Mawlana Muhammad Ilyas Attar Qadri, Damat Barakatuhum Al-Aliyah, the founder of Dawat-e-Islami, we cannot deny the fact that among his followers, among those who seek his company, his counsel, his guidance, are students of knowledge, are scholars of the religion, people who understand the religion. And many of his followers are young people or adults who have developed an amazing, exceptional routine in terms of their acts of worship, their observance of the laws of Sharia. And this is why it is said that if you want to know about a sheikh, then consider the followers. Because the followers do or can give an indication of the sheikh that is being followed, or the sheikh who is at the forefront of a particular group of people. So it's very important for us to understand that the pious people and the intelligent people, knowledgeable people, will be drawn towards the awliya, the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala and reports a very powerful hadith. He says that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, indeed, there are some servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who are neither prophets nor martyrs. But on the Day of Judgment, even the prophets and martyrs will express an inclination, an envy. This is not the bad envy, this is a good envy. Meaning, when we say in English, you're envious of someone, it means that you are drawn to what the other person has, whether that's a quality or something else. So these people, these servants of Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentions in the hadith, he says they will neither be prophets nor will they be martyrs, but the reward and honor that they will attain on the Day of Judgment will make the prophets and the martyrs express an inclination towards them. When this was said, among the people who were listening to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a person asked this question. He said, tell us about their deeds so that we may love them too. Meaning, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, tell us what kind of deeds were they doing in this world so that we may express a love and affection for them too. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they are those people who love each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not due to being related through family or being related or having an affiliation due to trade or business. Meaning, believers, Muslims who just have love for one another because of faith for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a beautiful thing and what a powerful reminder and such an inspiration for all of us, that we shouldn't be the people who walk down the street and ignore our Muslim brothers. Don't even give salam to them or don't even reply to their salam. We should be people who strengthen our bonds of brotherhood, because in the end and ultimately, the bond of faith, it is above, over and above every other bond. And this is the bond that will lead to salvation. This is not, does not mean we discredit or we disregard our bonds of kinship, our familial bonds. They have their rights as well. But on a generally speaking, as Muslims, as followers of faith, our tie and our bond of faith should be strong, and its love for each other should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then we will see how doors will open for us, and with the mercy of Allah, we attain salvation. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued, and he said, by Allah, their faces will be shining, and they will sit upon thrones made of light. When other people will be in a state of fear, they will have no fear. And when people will be in a state of sadness, they will have no sadness, or they will not experience any sadness. And then he quoted the verse of the Quran, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Pay heed, indeed, the friends of Allah, they will have nothing to fear, nor will they grieve. This is the honor given to those who are chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another quality mentioned by Hafiz Abu Nu'aym is that the awliya are people who are away from all kinds of controversy and discord. They focus on their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not involve themselves in matters of rebellion and other related activities. Another trait of the awliya mentioned by our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is that they are people, some of them, that if you look at them, you would not think much of them. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam described them in different ways in various hadith traditions. And a common trait or common description that is mentioned is that they are disheveled. Their hair may be out of place. They are dusty. And people would not look at them, or people would not consider them to be significant. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam specified that if such people swore an oath or took an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah would fulfill their oath. Meaning that if they expressed a prayer and they swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this devotion and this expression of their prayer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would fulfill, would accept, would answer their prayer and supplication. And in one particular hadith mentioned in Tirmidhi, The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, Bara ibn Malik is one of them. Bara ibn Malik was the person or one of those who would devote his life for the service, for the protection of Islam. He was known for his valor. He was known for his bravery. So he would be one of those who would come forward, who would dive into conflict and would be someone who would be fearless in coming forward to protect Islam and to fight the enemy who had attacked the Muslims. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam describes him to be one of those people. Yes, one of those that if he swore by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he expressed a supplication with this oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would accept what he expressed in his supplication or his prayer. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum saw the truth, they witnessed the truth of the prophetic statement about Sayyiduna Bara bin Malik radiallahu ta'ala an. Once during battle when the Muslims were facing losses, some of the companions, they turned to him and they reminded him that he was, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with this quality, that if he expressed a qasam, an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his supplication, his prayer would be answered. So they urged him that he should do this, he should take an oath by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the believers victory and grants the believers dominance in this struggle. When he did so, the Muslims, the companions and the other Muslims who were present in that battle, they witnessed how after the dua of Sayyiduna Bara ibn Malik radiallahu anh, the Muslims became victorious. On another occasion, he did the same thing, and he also, in that supplication, he requested, he prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for martyrdom. And the companions and the other believers who were present, they witnessed the truth and the acceptance of his supplication on that occasion, where he, not only did the Muslims become victorious, Bara ibn Malik radiallahu anh became a martyr as well. Dear viewers, we mustn't forget that those that we may think of as being insignificant in some way, or we dismiss certain people just by their looks, like Bara ibn Malik radiallahu anh was described as a thin man, a poor man, a man who apparently did not look like he had authority, or a man who did not look like he commanded a presence or he commanded anything. Yet his prayers were answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was singled out by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam. In this day and age, until the day of judgment, there will always be people who others may not recognize, who others may dismiss, but they have a certain closeness or nearness in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are the hidden gems, hidden pearls in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as Hafiz Abu Nu'aym has mentioned, there are such people due to whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends rain down upon his creation. And we should pray that we are blessed with being part of the supplications of such people. And our love for these awliya, our love for these friends of Allah, becomes a means for our salvation. These attributes of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly inspire us and encourage us to be more obedient and to adhere to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We pray Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our endeavors to follow the way of the awliya, to follow the way of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May our love for them be a means of forgiveness for us. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad.
In search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety, in search of piety.